The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And we start the second hour of the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins and Vincent Finelli sitting in for John Stadmiller. We gave him a day off again. And we're talking about what's going on in Virginia here with the possibility that the governor, Ralph Northam, may call on the National Guard to, I guess, do a door-to-door confiscation of people who have bump stocks, silencers, and who may have extended magazines, high-capacity magazines, I guess you want to call them. I don't call 30 rounds in a magazine a high capacity, but evidently they do. So during the break here, Vincent and I were talking about, because I missed a little bit of the phone call from Melissa from Texas, and I had a little problem there. I came back in, and so I just got a little update on that. And he was talking about, Vincent was talking about what firearm for a female. I'm asked that all the time. Vincent, you're probably asked all the time too, but, you know, women are saying it's, you know, a heavy gun. Is it a heavy gun? It's hard to keep the, you know, keep it sighted and everything. But I think your recommendation of a .32 caliber snub nose is a great idea. I also like the 38 snub nose. 38 snub nose for female also.
My recommendation is not 32. My recommendation, I have a 32. Okay. And the ammunition for a 32, which is an old police round, like a 32 right. Smith & Wesson. Now, when I say 32 Smith & Wesson, I'm not referring to the handgun, the revolver. I'm referring to the cartridge, which is called a 32 S&W. It's a 32 short, and it goes in a in a revolver. It's weak. It's weak. It's way better than nothing. Okay, but I think you're way better off to get a 5-shot light alloy Smith & Wesson brand or something of a name brand that is chambered in 38 special. Now, if you want to step up to the same diameter and have a little more punch to it, it'd be called a 357. So you can think of a 357 Magnum as the big gun caliber in a revolver. And not the biggest, but a big one. And the 38 special is a little bit smaller, a little more pleasant to shoot. So, and a little less expensive to shoot. Now, you can get a 357 revolver that will shoot both 357s and 38 specials, which is a great way to go. But it weighs more than a revolver that just is chambered for 38 special. Now, the reason I like revolvers for our lady friends and lady students and lady instructors is because a revolver does not have a safety. A revolver has a trigger. And if you put your finger on the trigger, that cylinder is going to rotate. That hammer is going to go back if it has one, and it's going to go bang. Okay? There's no safety. So you don't have to worry about, is the safety on or is the safety off? Is there a round in the chamber or not? It's either loaded or it's not. And if you've got all cartridges in it, all 5 or 6, depending on what it's configured to hold, it will go bang if you have the right cartridge in it. So our lady friends typically don't shoot as much as the guys do, which is fine.
That's true.
So all they have to do is pull it out, point it, squeeze it, and it goes off. That's why I recommend the 38 Special, Detective Special, snub-nosed. And I carry one with me at times, too. I like it fits right in the pocket. But don't put it in your purse, because what can happen is someone can come up from behind you and put their arm out, loop through the loop of your purse, and off they go with your gun and your identification license and whatever else is in the purse. It needs to be on your person, so that if they pull your pocketbook from you and you feel threatened, you've got your gun with you.
Yeah. You know, that's a great recommendation. So you're talking about the snub nose, which is a 2-inch barrel, right?
2-inch? Yeah, roughly 1 point something. Yeah, or two and a half. Yes. And you mentioned bump stock, yeah. And I think they're silly. And I'll tell you why.
I agree.
I learned not to waste anything. And a bump stock is a loose goose stock. And if you have a loose goose stock, you're not going to be anywhere near as accurate as you need to be. So I'm fine with a semi-automatic AR-15 or a semi-automatic AK-47. I'm good with that.
Right.
I don't want one that fires three rounds in a burst or is an automatic. I'm okay with one shot at a time. And if you practice, y'all can be happy with one shot at a time, because ammo's not free. Ammo's not free.
No, I agree. I agree. No. So what kind of ammunition would you actually recommend? A hollow point for self-defense?
Well, there's critical defense ammunition from a number of manufacturers. You know, I got to tell you, most of us are not going to get in a gunfight immediately.
Right.
So I would just go with lead round nose for the 38 special. It's the least expensive. I would practice with that. But if I'm going into town, it would be a hollow point or critical defense. You know, here's the way I look at this. We have a really great instructor by the name of Mike Ma. Mike Ma is Chinese.
Yeah.
He is a grandfather type. He's a little older than I am. And when he gets stopped by the police and they look at the ammunition he has, he's got what the police have. You know, the dangerous stuff, the kind that fragments and goes into a million pieces that absolutely kills the person that's shot, the kind the police have. And if they ask him, "Mr. Ma, why do you carry this ammunition?" "Well, I just followed your lead. I know that you guys spent a lot of time and money testing it, so you want the best, so I just got what you guys got." Good answer? We've got
to go back to the
Mike.
Phones here, Vince. In Colorado, we've got Mike. Mike, you're on the show.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Vincent. This is a great conversation. Thank you guys for having it. I appreciate the fact that when you speak about it, Vincent, you're speaking of Second American Revolution as opposed to Civil War.
Yeah,
I am. Because we're in such a lawless state right now that when the state government thinks they can do that to a citizen, all bets are off.
Well, I refer to it as it's the government against us. Isn't that what the revolution was about, the first one?
Exactly.
Wasn't it about King George? And wasn't he oppressive against the colonists? And when they finally had had enough, it took a while. It built up. And when it finally got to the breaking point, it was violent. And I think it's going to happen the same way. We're going to let them push us around and around and around, and then finally we'll have had it. Now, I'm not, don't blame me. I didn't start this. I'm just trying to protect our rights. Our rights.
Totally agree. And part of why I wanted to call in is the listeners in the audience of this radio program are pretty darn sharp, but if they keep calling it a civil war, they're going to miss the point.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Mike,
anyway,
Mike, let me get a little personal with you. We've never met, I don't think.
No.
Are you armed?
Yes.
Okay. And what have you chosen for your protection? Do you mind if I ask?
You know, no, not at all. I carry Sig brand.
Uh-huh. Top of the line.
Semi-automatic weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Because
chambered
they
in
don't
what?
Fail. I have 9 and 45.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead.
I know a guy who's a former cop. And he says the most ridiculous things. And one of the most ridiculous things he said is there's no such thing as knockdown power. And I was thinking about the Colorado Aurora shooting. So a guy comes in, he's got body armor on, he's got groin protection, he's got leg body armor on, he's got arm body protection on. He's really well protected. He's got a helmet on, and he's blinking at the audience, right? And I was thinking, this guy who talks about no such thing as knockdown power, well, you can hit that guy with a .22, not much is going to happen. You can hit that guy with a .380, not much is going to happen. You hit that guy with a .45 in the chest, even though he's got body armor on, he's going to have broken ribs and he's going to be coughing up blood.
Right.
So I applaud you for the .45 ACP. That's my favorite.
And I will tell you, sir, I went from a suburban city kid. A decade ago, I elicited an actual professional firearms instructor because he taught me proper technique. And I can shoot my .45 as well as my .9. It's a little more expensive to shoot. But if we get to a situation, I really only want to throw one or two at each person. I don't want to be throwing 8 and 9 at somebody.
Well, that's exactly right. And I've been asked, you know, why do you carry that antique? Because I carry a 1911. You know, why do I carry an antique? Because it works. And you know what? It's been the most popular gun since 1911. It's that good. And I'm talking
I'll tell you,
the traditional with a hammer.
They wanted to teach me the 1911 with the, you know, the grip safe, the safety in the grip. Yeah. And I chose a double single instead. So my platform, it operates just like a revolver. You squeeze that trigger and a bullet comes out.
Yeah, you know, I'm an antique myself, and I carry a stainless 1911, and I just love it.
It's a great weapon, though. Yeah, never fail on you.
It just works. It just works and works. And the projectile, which is called the bullet, and by the way, on television shows, you know, they interchange the term bullet, cartridge, and spent case. The writers don't know what they're talking about. The cartridge is the bullet, the projectile, plus the powder, plus the primer, plus the case. Okay? So, and they interchange the term clip and magazine. There is a thing like called a clip, and it just holds the cartridges in a line. But it's disposable. A magazine is the case for all the cartridges. So clip and magazine are not interchangeable, and bullet and cartridge are not interchangeable. Those are four different terms. So what does your lady friend or wife, what is the recommendation for her?
You know, she went from a .38 revolver, and we recently got her a 9mm. It's a 365 SIG, and the reason we did, it's a double single action, just like a revolver.
Mm-hmm.
So she leans forward on it before she pulls that first round so she can stay on target. And we practice weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do 500 rounds, but we'll go down, spend a half hour, make sure they're clean them afterward, go down there, practice up. And I'll tell you real quick before I let you go, when they ask me why I carry the .45 instead of the .9, I tell them the same reason I use a 20-pound sledge instead of a 5-pound sledge.
So I take it you agree with that little story I told about the Aurora, Colorado movie theater shooting with the .45. You get hit with a .45 and it's gonna take you down.
The action will stop.
It's a massive cartridge. But you can't, it's really hard to carry a double stack .45. So, you know, you might be limited certainly less than 10 rounds, certainly. But
I'm 7+1, but I carry a separate magazine if I need to.
Right. So. And have you seen the pistol called the Para Ordnance LDA? Have you seen that in .45?
I have not.
Okay. Well, it's a 1911 that is double action.
Oh, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Who makes it?
Para Ordnance, P-A-R-A.
Okay.
And it's available in stainless. Let me ask you one other question while you're still with us. Have you heard of the cartridge known as the .38 Super?
You know, it's probably like a plus P plus round for a .9, but I haven't specifically.
It's a .38 that is got more energy than a .45.
Oh, really?
And if you find one made by Colt, it's slimmer, lighter, more powerful than a .45, but it looks like a 1911. And if you have a smaller hand, What a great way to go.
Well, how expensive, fast though, is that traveling, do you know?
I don't have it in front of me, but okay. it's way faster than a 45.
Yeah, because they're only like 850.
Right.
So it's probably up in the 1100s, 1200s.
Oh, yeah. Have you reloaded?
You know, I don't. My brother-in-law does. He goes grain by grain, super careful.
All right. So for our class, here's something you ought to think about. What do you do if you run out of ammunition? Now, that's a good reason to have a 9mm, because that's what the other team carries. They've got 9mm, real common. So if you have a 9, yeah, you know, there'll be ammunition available for it, more than for a 45, more than for a 40, more than for a 10mm, more than for a 38, you know, special or a 357. But you can reload many times that same case if you keep them, you know, the brass. So you might want to get some projectiles, bullets, powder, primers, and first learn, you know, go to YouTube and find out how to do it. And you may want to get the equipment. And reloading is between 30-40% of what it would cost for factory rounds. Just a thought. But then
That's a great thought.
Yeah. But then again, I expect there's going to be so much carnage. If you want to pick up a military tool, you'll be able to find them on the ground.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for taking my call. I appreciate the conversation. Protect your loved ones as best you can, right?
You too. Thanks for calling.
That's right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Vincent, that reloading is probably a smart move. Not only are they going to go after the firearms, you're going to go after the manufacturers of the ammunition also, because a firearm is kind of worthless without the ammunition. So I kind of theorize in the future that's exactly what they're going to do. Not only are they going to go after the firearm manufacturers, but definitely go after the ammo people also. So reloading is a great idea. Great idea.
I don't want to minimize what I said about the 22. You know, well-placed shots, you can kill somebody with a 22. I know this for a fact.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we kill some cows on our farm. Let's say we're going to butcher a cow. We do it with a 22. Not a 22 Magnum, just a plain old 22 long rifle in a lever-action rifle. Right to the skull in one spot, and that's it. Boom.
Yep.
Done.
Well, Vincent, I can tell you, I've seen more death from 22 coming in through the ER than I've seen with the higher calibers. I've seen a lot more death with 22.
And I was at the Chinese factory outlet today, and I just thought I'd go over to the ammunition department and see the guns and see what they had. And they had, I believe, 550 rounds of 22 long rifle,
okay,
federal brand. And I think it was 38 grain hollow point, so you could use that in a Ruger 10/22, pretty much anything. It's high velocity. For that little money, and for a couple hundred dollars, literally $200 at a gun show, maybe $225, you could buy a 22 Ruger, a 10/22. That's the model 10/22 Ruger semi-automatic rifle, and you can go plinking with that and learn how to do it. And for $20, you can shoot 550 rounds. And if you had to go on the run, and if space and weight were at a premium, I just might take a 22 with me with, you know, 550 rounds versus about the same weight, carrying the same weight with maybe 100 rounds of 45 or maybe even 50 rounds of 45 in terms of weight. So depending on what you expect, you can protect yourself with a 22.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a good shot. So why not take the time now to learn how to be a good shot? Why not? And why not teach the family? Teach them about the dangers of it. Teach them about the safety. And then teach them the rest of the story.
I agree. Short commercial break while we're right back. Vincent Finelli, Steve Elkins, sitting in for John Stadmiller. This is the National Intel Report.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Talk about bumper music for violence and guns. Remember this one here, Vincent?
Yeah, I was going to compliment whoever picked the bumper music for this particular broadcast.
That's our good man, Michael. Every time I hear that song, I think of the movie Casino with De Niro. Quite the shoot 'em up. Good stuff. You know, I was thinking about this whole thing we're talking about. You know, our generation is not going to submit and give up our firearms. There's no doubt about it. And I think they know that. For the most part, I think they know that we are not going to just hand it over. It's not going to happen with us. What I do fear is that the younger generation, with the school shootings and other mass shootings, whether they're real shootings or they're false flags, I think they're working on the future. They're working on the children. For the future of disarming America. And I hope that they're not successful. I hope that somewhere along the way they'll wise up, this generation will wise up and understand that our Second Amendment rights are worth standing up for and defending. And if they don't protect those, they will be, well, they'll be slaves basically to a slave owner. They won't have much option anymore. They'll be controlled very easily and unable to defend themselves. I hope this, that young generation, I hope they wise up really, really fast, Vincent. They're the worry for me in the future. They really are.
Is it okay if we assign some homework to our class today?
Sure. Sure, let's do it. Go for it.
All right. So I recommend that you watch with your spouse or your girlfriend or your boyfriend and your children, if they are willing to do it, if they are, let's say, late in the teenage years, because this is going to be disturbing. So, number one, I suggest you watch a series, a television series called Jericho, with a J, Jericho.
Yeah.
And it's about this small Kansas town by the name of Jericho. Everything's going along fine. And then something happens. The lights go out. And it's neighbor against neighbor. It's disagreement within the family. It's there's nothing new coming in. Everything that you're going to be able to get has been manufactured and just stopped. Nothing else new. And if you want something new, you will have to find it. You'll have to find a truck that's abandoned on the side of the road. You'll have to grow it, or you'll have to steal it from somebody, or you'll have to protect it so that it's not stolen from you. It's about limited ammunition. It's about family versus family. People who used to get along great don't get along anymore.
Yeah.
A town that used to play another town, a neighboring town, in high school sports, become at war, literally at war, over starvation. That's Jericho.
Right.
That's number one. Yeah. So I suggest you watch that first. Number two was a series produced by BBC, British Broadcasting, in 1976 and 77 called Survivors, Survivors with an O, okay, Survivors. And that was the first one. Then there was a second one. I think it was just recently, maybe around 1990, maybe. But the first one was way better. Okay, 1976, 1977. Try to find it. You'll probably have to buy it. And it's about what happens when everything stops. People get sick. What do you do if somebody in the family gets sick? And now everybody's at risk. Because let's say there's four people in the family. When one person gets sick, you're not down 25%. You're down 75%. Okay? It's like taking care of the wounded. And then there's knocks on the door. Can you trust who knocks on the door? Can you trust who comes down the driveway? People will stab each other over a can of beans, for example. That is Survivors. The next one that I suggest you watch is called The Walking Dead. Now, you may think I'm crazy. This is about zombie apocalypse. But I'm not suggesting you watch it for the zombies themselves. I'm suggesting you watch it to see how people don't play nicely when there is an awful situation. When the grid's down, everything stops, as in Jericho. As in Survivors. You know, a common thread is no electricity. Well, heck, you can't brew coffee without electricity, you know, if you have a coffee maker. So everything is terrible. How do you open a can of whatever you want to eat with no electricity for your electric can opener? And it will teach you so much, and you ought to watch it with your spouse and take notes. What is awful? What don't you like? And what do you need to do to prevent that from happening to you?
We'll be right back. Short commercial break. Vincent Finley and I are talking about Second Amendment rights, protecting those rights. We'll be right back. This is the National Intel Report.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
And we are back. This is the National Intel Report. Vincent, I was just thinking in the break there, we've seen in other third world countries and other countries where starvation has pushed people to, survive. The ugly head has been reared, I guess you might say, that they've decided to go steal or kill whatever they have to do in order to nourish themselves or their families. And we think that only happens in third world countries. And it's quite possible that could actually happen here. And I've been allocating for many, many years to actually do your own gardening, have your own gardens and be able to feed yourself and your family. That's really important to do so, not be so relied on government for advances or any kind of care. In the future, I think anybody who thinks, well, I'm not going to really prepare myself for the future, and the government's always going to be there and take care of my needs. Well, that puts you as a slave of them, and be the slave owner, basically, situation you're in. I don't ever want to be in that situation. I know you don't. You always allocate being able to take care of yourself. not having to rely on anybody. And I want to ensure the understanding that people need to actually start thinking about taking care of themselves, never relying on other people for any kind of anything they need, just being able to do yourself. Now, I know in the last year since I've known you, you can fix nearly anything you want to fix. I'm getting better. And I thank you for giving me that education to where I would normally would say, you know, well, I'll just throw it and get buy another one. But sometimes the older is the best. So fixing the old is probably a good idea. But I'm really big on this gardening thing here. I'm looking forward to my spring here pretty soon and building a above ground garden to take care of my own vegetables, my own needs. And I think that's a necessity. On top of that, we talk about the firearms, being able to protect yourself and your family. That is a necessity. You have to have that. But like I said, Vincent, I'm kind of concerned. I'm concerned that the youth are being played for gun confiscation, and that we're working hard to keep our Second Amendment rights. But if they hand it over, all the work we've ever done to secure our Second Amendment rights will be handed over through fear. And we know that those who offer, you know, basically turn over their firearms for a little bit of security and assurance of security will receive neither. They won't.
So one day,
flat out won't. They won't get it. But so they will be owned and they will be controlled, easily to control.
I walked into the Farmers Cooperative and one of the gals had been kind of like a staple there for years and years and years. One day she said to me, and this is in town, you know, in the local hamlet near where we live. And she said to me, "Vincent, why do you carry a gun?" And I said, "Judy, it's my duty." And she never heard that before. She thought I might say something like, "It's my right."
Right.
I said, "It's my duty."
Yeah, my duty.
I said, "Judy, it's my duty to protect myself as the head of the household. It's my duty to protect Mrs. Finelli and our children. And it's their duty to protect me. And Judy, if something bad happens here in the Farmers Cooperative while I'm here, I can protect you."
Right.
Yeah. And one day, another day, years before that, I had gotten my hair cut at the, you know, from the same gal over and over and over and over. And one day I walked in, it was kind of chilly out, and I had my blue jeans. You know, my uniform is blue jeans, long sleeve, solid color shirt, combat boots normally, tactical belt, 45 on my, you know, between my shirt and the inside of my pants, and sometimes a rider jacket or a Carhartt type jacket if it's even colder, and or no jacket. And I walked in with my rider jacket and I sat down and she called me. And so I walked over to the hooks on the wall and I took off my jacket and she saw my 45, you know, the butt. And she said, "Vincent, you have a gun?" And I said, "Yeah. But I'll tell you what, if it's a problem, I can leave." I didn't say I'd put it in the car or the truck. I said, "I'll leave." And she said, "No, you've been here a whole bunch of times. I'm sure it's okay." I said, "All right." Now, all eyes and all ears were pointed toward me. Everybody in the haircutting saloon or salon were aimed and tuned into me. And I said, "Look, it's really simple. You sort of know me. And if something bad happens, I'm here.
That's right.
So while I'm here, I've got my 45. When I leave, I'm bringing it with me." And they all thought about that. Like, so this is kind of a good thing.
Yeah.
Because we've got someone here that can protect us. Because when he's not here, we're on our own.
That's right.
And all we have is scissors.
Yeah. You know, Vincent, with this last shooting in at the church in Texas here, I saw that the mainstream media tried very hard, tried to find a negative on this. It was actually, you know, quite, you know, two people died in this shooting in a church. But it could have been much worse. But there were two, evidently there were two members of the church who were armed and took down the shooter. But they tried very hard to, in so many words, demonize the shooter for having a firearm in a church. And, you know, I don't realize, I guess, when I walk around, I carry mine quite a bit, and it's concealed. No, but you can't see it. But I feel the same way. I'm there for security myself and for wherever I am in a public place. If something happens, I'm going to spring into action, and I'm going to take down an active shooter. I'm not going to hide. I'm going to take him down, because that's what I need to do. And when we start thinking this way, if we can just keep this in our mind, that's exactly, there's a good guy with a gun taking out a bad guy with a gun. If we can think on those terms, it's a good thing. And we shouldn't be fearful and people all freaking out of, oh my God, a firearm in a store, and I'm worried about these people. Those aren't your enemies. Those aren't the people to worry about. And these gun-free zones, that's ridiculous. That's a green flag there to say, here, go here, because these people are not caring, and you can do some considerable damage there. Those have to go away. Those have to be eliminated completely, the gun-free zones.
Okay, let's talk about that. So let's say Steve Elkins does the right thing. There is a person who is going to indiscriminately execute people. Okay? And Steve Elkins has his handgun, he's proficient in it, and he has the opportunity to stop the shooting or stop more shootings right then and there. And he pulls out his handgun, whether it be a revolver or a semi-automatic pistol, and he shoots and takes down and kills the person who was going to shoot more. What's the next thing that happens? Well, everybody's got a cell phone except me. So the next thing that happens is people are on the phone. They're calling 911. There's a guy with a gun. There's a guy with a gun, and he's been shooting, and there's a dead guy.
Yeah.
When the police come with rifles drawn, shotguns drawn, handguns drawn, they're looking at Steve.
Yeah.
Now, Steve is likely to get himself shot. So what do you do? Well, here's my take on this. Steve needs to call 911 and say, there's been a shooting. My name is Steve Elkins. There's been a shooting. There was a guy who pulled his gun and started executing people here in the mall. I shot him and killed him to prevent further shootings. I am the victim. I'm the victim. My name is Steve Elkins. I'm the guy with blue jeans and a red shirt. Blue jeans and a red shirt. I'm the victim. Blue jeans and a red shirt. And then when the police come, because they don't know who shot who, they might think that you're the bad guy. Okay? Yeah. So it's a really risky thing.
Yes, it is.
Okay? So be prepared. And the next thing that'll happen is, if you don't get shot, which is wonderful, the next thing that'll happen is you're going to be arrested. You're going to be taken away in handcuffs because you had a gun and you shot somebody. Now, what are you going to say? You have to say, I was in fear for my life, if you were, and that guy was shooting, and I thought, I'm going to be next or the guy after that guy. So I had to defend myself. I stood my ground.
Vince, it seems to work for the police officers. They always say, I feared for my life, and they right. Draw. I agree. You may make some good points there. Yeah, I can't imagine that being the good guy that took down the bad guy, and then the police showing up and then thinking I'm the bad guy and take me down.
They would. Of course, yeah, they would. Because they're trained. They've been waiting. They've been waiting their whole life, their whole police life, to go and shoot Steve Elkins. They're waiting for that. Shoot the guy with the gun. That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure they don't shoot you
right.
by not having your gun in your hand.
Right.
And I would think that you'd want to put it in your holster.
Exactly.
And stay on the phone with 911 saying it's all over. There's no more shooting. I'm the guy in the red shirt and the blue jeans, and I'm on the phone with you, and I'm going to stay here until your team arrives.
Right.
Okay. Tell who's ever in charge that's coming this way, I'm in the red shirt. I'm the victim. I'm the victim. I'm the victim. You have to do that, in my opinion. And, you know, David, who is making all of this happen, had a great point. David, revolvers don't jam. They don't jam.
They don't.
Yeah, but that's why they're always a good thing to have. You pick it up, you pull it, the round doesn't fire, no big deal, just pull the trigger again.
That's right. And automatics, they jam a lot more than we'd like.
Yeah, they do.
At the worst possible times, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So practice, 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 and make sure that when you're teaching young people, you teach them the safety first. Finger off the trigger, finger off the trigger. I can't tell you how many times I've taught classes. I'm a NRA certified range safety officer. It doesn't mean much, but I am. And finger off the trigger is so important because you say it over and over and over, and they go, huh, yep, 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 yep. And then the next thing you know, their finger's on the trigger, and you go, come on, finger off the trigger. And never point that thing at anything that you are not willing to destroy.
I agree.
And never put your finger on the trigger until you're ready to destroy it.
Correct.
That's right.
Correct. Yep. And David, I want to make sure that we thank you publicly for what you do here and you make it happen.
You're welcome. Mike, it's not necessary. It's for the love of the truth, Vince, and we need to be able to get this stuff out to people and get prepared to deal with what's coming.
Yeah, I'm sorry we have to do it this way. I'm sorry we have to use this tone of voice, or at least I'm sorry I'm using this tone of voice. I don't mean with you, but I mean, I'm very concerned. I am really concerned.
Rightly so.
And you've seen Jericho?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That is a must watch. It is very plausible in just about every aspect of that. And where your situation in your neighborhoods will be different when all this comes down. You can kind of use that as a kind of rough draft and try to simulate all the different assets that you've got and the liabilities and figure out what you're going to do in that particular situation. Prepare for the worst and hope for the best. It'll probably be somewhere in between.
And so here's just a simple thing. If our class tonight just does this one thing, it will be an eye-opener. So you sit down with your spouse and you say, okay, it's Friday night, it's dark, 9 o'clock in the evening, and there's a knock at the door. All you can see is the headlights of a vehicle in your driveway, close to your front door. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to answer the door? You've been trained to do that, kind of like answering the phone. You don't have to answer the phone or the door. You don't. And how are you going to answer the door if you answer the door? Are you going to answer it with a concealed weapon? Are you going to answer it with a shotgun? Or are you just going to go and say, honey, you answer the door?
That would kind of depend on what I see on my security cameras on the perimeter on the way in. I pay attention to stuff out there. You got to be prepared. Just blindly opening the door to somebody, especially if you've got a hostile environment, that could be a recipe for a whole lot of bad juju.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I'm trying to convey, that you don't know. And you have the good fortune, because you prepared for this in advance, to have that security system. Not everybody does. We've got Ed... Ed on the line.
Yeah, let's take it.
Yeah, Ed, welcome.
You're on the show. What's on your mind?
Gentlemen, great show. First time listener. I mean, love the show. I was expecting Johnson. I had no idea he had it off, but I'm glad I found two new hosts that I could listen to. Okay. I've got a question for you. Home defense. Between a shotgun, AK, and let's say various pistol calibers, what would you really recommend for home defense?
Well, it depends. If you're asking me, it depends, and I don't mean to be flippant about that. It depends. If, you know, have you ever patterned a shotgun? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I do, but it's been a long time.
All right, so you take a piece of cardboard, you know, a big piece of cardboard, like a large box, and you walk 20 feet from it, and you aim at the center of it, and you squeeze the trigger, and you look at where all those pellets landed. You'll be very, very, very surprised at how close they are together. So if you think there's three guys...
That's why it's illegal to saw off your shotgun, I think, under 17 inches because of the spray pattern, right?
Well, that's part of it. And the other part of it is it's easier to conceal, and they don't like that. So to answer your question, I sleep with a shotgun, 12-gauge. I sleep with an AR. And I sleep with a handgun. I like a .45.
So do I.
For Mrs. Finelli, I like a .357 Magnum /38, short, for carrying around. Mrs. Finelli has a AR-15 and a shotgun. And would I answer the door without knowing who it is at night? Probably not. So here's the whole point of that. So the knock comes on the door, and you already know because you've already talked to the family about this. What are we going to do? We're just going to let somebody answer the door and everybody else going to watch TV? Or do we go into our respective positions and don't answer the door?
Sensible thing would be the latter part, obviously.
Yeah, right.
A lot of people don't think that way. They just open the door because, you know, here where I live in the state, I live with the red flag laws, I'd rather not say. I mean, it's very rural, and you're not you're not about to get anyone to knock on your door unless it's an extreme emergency after, like, 10 o'clock. And usually who's coming over.
Yeah, let me say this. So let's say you're outside, and you've got your pump shotgun, and you've got a shell chamber. Let's say it's just for argument's sake, it's 12-gauge. And there's three guys in front of you, and they're 20 feet away. And it looks like you're going to be dinner. You don't have to aim at one of them. You can look at, let's say you're on a hard surface, you know, like concrete, pavement. You can aim sort of on an angle toward them. And the spray pattern might, you know, teach them all a lesson.
Right. You think you might have a better shot with an AR or an AK in that situation than a shotgun?
Well, and Mike Ma likes the AK-47. I'm okay with the AR. The AR has AR is a lot smaller round. It's pleasant to shoot, and you can reach out a lot farther with an AR-15 than you can with an AR than an AK-47. Okay. So, but AK-47s don't seem to jam. They're a loosey-goosey gun rifle. So. I don't know. I've shot them both. I'm happy with both. You know, I'm a small guy. I only weigh 138 pounds soaking wet. So, to me, I'm not as big as Steve.
He is. He actually is 138 soaking wet. I agree with that.
Yeah. So, and I'm 68. So, to me, I like the AR-15 with a short barrel. I'm talking about a legal length barrel.
Okay.
And no scope, nothing on that, no laser, no light, nothing, just a
now, when
iron
I was, now, sights. When I was in the Army back in the early 80s, we just had what was left of the M16A1s with the iron scope on it, sights on it. I mean, there were no scopes. I mean, people today, how many people actually zero in iron sights? Not many people today. And
well,
I think there's going to come a time, you guys I'm sure do, but a lot of people today depend upon those scopes today, and it's very expensive.
Well, what happens? All right. So, what happens if you have a red dot, or a laser, or a telescopic sight, you know, scope, and you drop the rifle?
That's the whole point. My whole point is, you know, you shouldn't depend upon a red dot or a scope. You should depend upon those iron sights. That's why they're there. I mean,
okay. I was going to buy a rifle back when we lived in the corrupt Commonwealth of Virginia. And a guy was selling it privately. And he had an 8-inch target, steel target, hanging at 200 yards. And I wanted to see how accurate this thing was. So he handed me the rifle. And I was just standing there, and I was able to hit an 8-inch target at 200 yards. No bench, no scope. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying if I can do it, y'all can do it. I like just the iron sights. I like the iron sights the best. You know, why? Now, that's for general purposes. Now, if I were, you know, going to be a sniper, I'd want a really nice scope. But I know I'm not going to drop that darn thing because then it's no good. I have to resight it in. So I'd be really, really careful with a rifle with a scope. But for general purposes, for movement, I like a short barrel. I like it nice and light. I'm good with the AR-15.
Let me ask you a question about Arsenal. I bought an Arsenal SAM 7. No problems with it. It's a great weapon. It doesn't jam. Like you said, AKs never jam. I mean, I probably put 1,000 rounds through it and it hasn't jammed, thank God. But in a situation where, you know, it comes to like the crap hits the fan, to have an Arsenal, is it better to just have a cheap AK all around, for backup?
Why would you have a cheap anything? You know,
cheap today is $700. Cheap today is $700.
Oh, okay. Not to me. Not to me. When you said cheap AK, did you say cheap AK or AR?
AK. That would be about $700.
I remember those things at $295. Okay. Yeah. Well, an AK-47 is really, really nice. But I wouldn't want to have a cheap. When you say cheap, I think of not necessarily inexpensive. I think of junky.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to have anything that wasn't a name brand. No, if possible. Now, it's going to be really tough to get it, an AK-47 with a name brand because they're not made here.
Right.
No, Arsenal probably, but I think they're made in Bulgaria, but they have a factory, I think, in Arizona someplace, if I'm not mistaken. So
assembled?
I don't know how much of it is. That's a good question. The SAM 7s, they have a made in Bulgaria written on them.
See,
how much?
Yeah, you're out of my pay grade because I'm a pretty old guy and I like tried and true. I like the 1911.
Absolutely.
So
I just switched over to a Glock compared to a 1911.
I don't have a Glock, and I know that they are just fine pieces of machinery, except they're funny looking. You know, to me, and maybe that's no reason not to have one. Mike Ma has a Glock. He loves it. It's fast. It works. It doesn't stop working. It's great, but it's ugly. Now, I want to put a little bit of art into it, and that's why I have the 1911, because I think they are absolutely magnificent. You know, it's a beautiful piece of steel. Oh, yeah,
gentlemen, thank you very much. Have a great night, guys.
You. Appreciate that. Well, that completes our show tonight. Hey, thank you, Vincent, for joining me tonight. I learned quite a bit here. I'm going to start looking over maybe adding a little bit to my arsenal here. I may be underrated here a little bit, but appreciate that information. Thank you for joining me. John should be back here tomorrow night, National Intel Report. Any parting words there, Vincent?
Well, I would just say you ought to get some refills. You know, refills for what you already have.
Oh, I'll talk to you off air what I want to do.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for inviting me.
I thank you. Appreciate it.
Happy New Year, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Stay safe. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah. Get more.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.